Episode 111 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world manage risk and seize opportunities. Learn more at futuresfundamentals.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudelli sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Hey everyone, before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsors, CME Group, and Trading Technologies. Today I had a chance to speak with a man who originally went to law school, and while he was there, he got introduced to trading and never looked back. After 10 years of trading, he noticed that a lot of new traders were struggling to learn how to trade. He then saw an opportunity to help develop traders in a more structured way. Seizing this opportunity, he and his partner created SMB Capital. His name is Mike Bellafiore. Today I spoke with Mike for an inside look at a successful prop shop. We discussed the intense training and mentoring their traders go through before they even begin to trade. We talked about building a good routine in and out of the office, choosing a trading style that fits a trader's personality, and developing the correct mindset before a trader even begins to trade with live money. Mike is one of those people that when he speaks, you listen. He's a great guy who understands what it takes to help traders become successful. As always, thank you all for listening. Please enjoy this episode. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here, Mike. Now, before we dive into topics today, I'm really curious to hear how you got your start in the industry. Now, can you walk us through your journey a little bit and talk to us about the idea to start SMB Capital?
So I was in law school and had an epiphany that I did not want to be a lawyer, and a lot of respect for lawyers, but I recognized in law school that I wasn't going to be a good lawyer. I wasn't going to enjoy it, and so started looking around for some other things to do. My best friend from home, Steve Spencer, who's actually now my partner at SMB Capital, invited me to go into a party in New York City while I was in law school, and went in for a birthday party in the city, and Steve and his roommate from Wharton kind of cornered me at a party and said, you know, we're doing this thing called day trading, and we're doing really well, and the firm is looking for people from which to expand their firm with, and why don't you interview? Why don't you apply? Why don't you see if you can get a spot on the desk? And so I did, and my interview literally consisted of, you know, how do you know JK, who was one of the traders there who was doing really well, and Steve's friend and roommate from Wharton. And so I was able to answer that question without seeming drunk or out of it or falling down. And so you know, this was the beginning of day trading. It was the inception of day trading. I wouldn't say it was the first inning of day trading, but it was, you know, near the end of the first inning into the second inning. It hadn't really been going on for more than a couple of years, really, at a decent level. And so, you know, I didn't want to be a lawyer. I was looking for something to do. I'm not the type of person who, from the age of five, has been looking at charts and wanting to be a trader. I kind of backed into it. And so about 10 years into my trading career, I wanted to do something different. I wanted to find a way to utilize my talents, pursue my interests in a different way. So one of the things about trading is that you sit in front of screens. You know this very well. You sit in front of screens, and the market doesn't reward you based on your ability to work with other people or educate or communicate and or build. It rewards you based on your timing for hitting buttons. I traded that successfully through different markets. And so I wanted to contribute in a different way. And I kind of looked around at what was going on in our space and noticed that the markets were starting to get a lot harder. And that I, when I looked around, I saw this opportunity to help people from scratch to consistently profitable that wasn't being fulfilled. I felt like we could build this, we could start a small firm around really spending a lot of time training new traders, really spending a lot of time building traders from scratch, really spending a lot of time helping people get better and focusing on that.
All right, I'd like to begin by talking a little bit about SMB Capital. You know, here at Futures Radio Show, we get a lot of emails written to us. And one of the most popular questions that I get is, Anthony, I'm new to trading. I want to be an independent trader, but I'm not sure I have enough capital to do it. And I'm actually uncertain. You know, I'm seeing all these different ways to learn how to trade futures. Should I go about trading it on my own? Should I go to a desk? Should I go to a prop shop? What do you think is the best way to get myself on the path of, you know, being a professional trader? And I think that the answer, I think, first of all, the answer is a lot different now than it was, I think, you know, almost 20 years ago when I started, when I first started in the pit. You know, you had that, you know, this people surrounding you to help you. You know, you could watch other traders. Now this business is remote. You know, being in communities, I think, helps. I think it's great to learn from other people online, but I don't think that there's anything better than actually being in the office with other traders. I think that is really the best place to be. So since we have you here, Mike, owner of a successful prop shop at SMB, talk to us about your training program. Now, I know that your program, because I've asked you this before, has three stages. Can you tell our listeners what those three stages are and why you have three stages in place for traders to learn before they get started?
So there's two different paths to come into SMB. First is being an experienced trader with a track record. And if that's you and you show us that and you want more capital, better technology, coaching, mentoring, the ability to grow out your business, then we're in the business of funding experienced traders. But we're also in the business of teaching traders from scratch, teaching developing traders to become consistently profitable. So we do have three parts of our training program. The first part is called the SMB Foundation. Look, to become good at anything, you need to learn the basics. You need to build a very strong foundation to be creative, to be able to express your talents. There are things you need to know about trading. And so for 6 weeks, we teach you everything you need to learn about markets and stocks so that you can take the next step. There's no reason why you should know certain things about markets and about trading when you walk in the door. They certainly don't teach you that in college. They certainly don't teach you that in high school. You can read some of that online, but my experience has been you can read very little of that online. I think people think that you can read everything online, and that I would say that's not accurate. I think you can probably read about 2% of what you need to really learn online about being a successful trader. And I think being a successful trader is probably different than what 95% of the people think, based on them watching TV and talking to other people. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about that later with some case studies of guys who've done well here. But we start with the SMB Foundation. You're training on a demo. There are mentoring sessions throughout the day. We're teaching people how to find opportunities. We're pointing out setups. We're teaching risk management, how to read charts, the big picture, how to understand what makes markets move overall. Everything you need to learn. And then after that, you move to trader development. And during trader development, that's a four-month process. What you do during trader development is you experiment with different types of setups. So you will make a multiple time frame low float support trade. You will make a long-term technical support trade. You will make a extended reversal trade. You will make a wedge above VWAP consolidation pattern trade. You will make some scalp trades. All the trades here have names, and you know, we are pointing out and exposing traders to many different types of setups. Those setups require a different personality and different skill set to trade them at the highest level. So if you are a very, very fast thinker, you don't want to be trading slower moving setups. You want to be trading fast moving setups. You want to mix the setups with your skill set. So you get exposure to all of those types of setups, and then you ferret out the setups that you like the best, the setups that highlight your talents. You start to build a playbook. And also during trader development, you know, essentially what you're trying to do is identify your niche. That niche should emphasize your talents. You want to be building habits during trader development of best practices. Each day there's a daily routine that traders go through. They're going to watch film of tape that they've recorded. They're going to do a playbook trade. They're going to do a review, a detailed review in the SMBU Performance Center. They're going to work on mindfulness. They're going to make sure they're eating right, working out, going to bed at the right time. They're going to make sure they're taking their temperature and their emotions during different times of trading days. They're going to make sure that they are doing something we call the book of charts, taking snapshots of chart patterns that make the most sense to them. They're going to be talking to other traders on their desk. There's these series of habits that we want to put in place. There's this routine that we want to put in place so that each trader is taking the most out of each day that they can, so that one day is compounding on the next, so that they're getting as good as they can be, and they have that in place. They're being held accountable for completing their daily routine. We have a floor manager. We're clear, hey, you got to develop a daily routine and complete it each day. And if you don't do it, you're going to get put on the demo. We're setting you up to prepare for stage three, which involves an interview with one of our senior traders. You're working on technology. You're building filters for your favorite setups. You're leveraging the technology here to play more offense. There's single stock scripts, which allow you to enter positions semi-automatically, which you're going to work on. There'll be some automated trading education that you'll take with our head quant during trader development. You're expected to build whether it's complicated or simple, you're expected to build an automated trading system before you finish trader development. You're expected to be able to build filters. You're expected to build single stock scripts. So you should be a bionic automated trader with those skills before you get out of it. But what you really want to be doing is showing edge in your niche, live trading, and thinking of what you're going to be able to say and prove during that interview with a senior trader who you want to work with. So there are very successful traders on the floor here who do very well, and they trade very differently. Some guys are interested in merger arb plays. Some guys are interested in low flow trades. Some guys are interested in scalping. Some guys are interested in lots of different international arb ideas. And what we're going to do during that interview is try and set you up with somebody who you will fit in best with, somebody who's going to help you take your talents, utilize them to the best of your ability. But you want to get on that team. Because when you get on that team, you're going to get to work with a guy who has a lot of edge, who's showing it in his P&L, and is going to work with you one-on-one at an even higher level, very specifically towards your interests. And so stage three is called team trading. And that is when you join a senior trader's team. He teaches you his strategies. You help the senior traders with ideas, perhaps building technology for them, and you grow from there.
Before we move forward, I had to step in and say to all the traders out there listening, whether you're new to trading or an advanced trader, look at what a successful prop shop does to get their traders ready to trade. Look at the process that they go through before they begin to trade. It just shows you that there is a commitment level to this, and it is about your habits, your process. And, you know, from someone who came from the trading floor, watching other people in the business trade successfully, I learned so much from watching what they did when they weren't trading. And it really helped me realize what was important. It was not just about technicals and fundamentals. It was about everyday practices. As Mike pointed out, your habits. And that's how you build your process. So great insight, Mike, from a prop firm that has had success with building traders and to see what it takes for them to get on a winning path. Now, I want to ask you a question based upon what you had said, that you guys also will back traders that are coming in off of the street that have already had some experience, as opposed to building a trader from beginning to end. And because I'm sure there's probably a lot of traders out there listening right now that are probably saying, hey, you know what? I'm just paying the bills right now. I think I need a little bit push to get over the, over the hump to start making some more money. I don't have the capital to do it. Is someone like me a candidate for like an SMB? So my question is, what are you looking for to hire a trader like that?
The most important thing that we look for is a cultural fit. So I want to work with guys, understand that trading is not a get-rich-quick scheme. I want guys who have a history of working really hard at different things with delayed gratification. So whether that's music or sports or chess, or it can be lots of different things, building a business. There are, we're in here every day, even the guys who make seven figures, trying to get better every day. Before today's open and last night, the trader who I spent the most amount of time conversing with and working with was probably one of our top three traders. And, so even the guys who are doing very, very well, we're thinking about how do you do better. And so, let's take a guy who, makes $4,000 a month or $2,000 a month and is having a little bit of success, but not enough to pay the bills or make a living, but show some edge. If that person fits our culture, if they're going to come in and work hard and follow a routine that we spell out and understand that you get better as a trader from the work that you put in after the market closes or before it opens, as opposed to hitting buttons when the market is open. If somebody is open-minded to leveraging technology, that's going to be evident when you talk to them and when you ask them how they're living their life, how they're living their trading life, that will become apparent. And so there are a couple of guys on our desk who fit that bucket that you're talking about of they were doing okay and they wanted a little bit of extra help. They were immersed into our culture, and they went from $4,000 to $50,000 in a month on a regular basis by being exposed to other traders who are better than them, by having habits put in place to help them get better every day, by having better capital, by having better technology, by being pushed, that have really grown. And it's the same answer for the newer guys. The first thing that we hire for is culture. Do you fit our culture?
Does everyone have to be in the SMB office?
Interestingly enough, our options desk, all of our options traders are remote. Their entire desk, we have about 15 options traders, they're all remote. And that's run by Seth Freudberg. And they do some option spread trading. And that's a nice part of our desk. Do you have remote traders? We have less than 10% are remote traders. We have connectivity that's possible to include people into the desk.
All right, Mike, I want to move on a little bit, and I want to continue a conversation that you and I had a little while back we were talking about how trading can just be hard. I mean, we were talking a little bit about my backstory and how it was tough for me, and I had, you know, a lot of challenges at the beginning of my career. And now, from your perspective, someone who has watched and taught many, many traders, why do you think that trading is so difficult?
I don't know that trading is so difficult. I think that it's right for some people, and I think it's not right for some other people. And, you know, the problem is that I guess the analogy that I use is that when I was young, I was a huge Yankees fan, and I wanted to play for the New York Yankees when I grew up. And I actually went to college and played college athletics. I played baseball. And I recognized in college that this was the highest level that I was going to play with, because I didn't have the talent to play at a higher level. You know, I was about 6'2", 185 pounds going into college. And I was really big for where I came from. And, you know, I was very average. There were 6'4", 215, was probably the median where I went to school. And, you know, I thought I threw hard, and you know, I think there were a lot of guys who threw much harder than I did. And so, you know, talent is an issue. And so a couple of things that I sort of see, and I think I sit in a unique seat in the trading community. I'm a managing partner of a trading firm, so I get to see a lot of traders here become successful, why and how. I have a lot of information that people don't have. I also get to talk to a lot of other managing partners of firms who get to see that as well, and we'll compare notes. I've written two books, and because I wrote two books, people reach out to me, guys in institutional firms, hedge funds, who reach out to me who've read my books, and they'll share their successes and failures. So I get a lot of, and we write a lot on our blog, and we're sharing, and people reach out to us throughout the world. And so I get a lot of this information. And so, you know, one of the things that I see is, you know, the first thing you want to be thinking about is developing a niche. And too many people just try and gravitate towards the trader who makes the most money. That's not the right approach. The trader who makes the most amount of money, you may not be able to trade like that trader. You know, for instance, one of our guys who is probably our top trader, he made a lot of money, I think like a lot of guys did on the street, in dry ships over the last couple of months. Dry ships went from $4 to $115 and then all the way back down again. And I think he had a couple of months one of the months he made over $200,000. But in that very month, where he made over a couple hundred thousand, he drew down near $100,000. Can you draw down like him? When you're drawing down like him, what's your emotional state going to be? Probably not very good. When it turns and you get on the right side of the trade, are you going to be big and holding it like him? I don't know. And so what's great, and you said this very well, what's great about being around a successful trader is them role modeling for you. How do they prepare before the open? How do they work after the close? What are their habits? It's great to try and co-opt one of their strategies. So, you know, let's say that you like to trade breakout trades from longer term charts, and one of the guys on the desk does that particularly well. Well, you may like that trade, that may fit your personality, but what I notice on the desk is that guys attack that trade differently. Nobody trades exactly the same. You know, for instance, we traded this ETRM today, and the firm made a couple hundred thousand dollars pretty quickly in a down move from 23 down to about 16. There were guys who scalped it. There were guys who swung it. There were guys who traded it long. There were guys who traded it short. there were different ways that people went at it. It wasn't just like everybody sat around the best trader and said, what is he doing? Let us copy exactly what he's doing and do that. That's not the way it works in trading, because there's drawdowns, because not everybody can get in at the same time, because not everybody can hold it the same way, because you don't have the book that he has, because your talents are different. And so you get exposed to an exceptional trader, and you can co-opt certainly some of his setups. You can even copy them and see if they work for you. But then what I find is that after you copy them, you make them your own. You tweak them a little bit. Maybe you don't want to take as much risk as the senior guy does on some shorts. Maybe you want to wait for a different time to enter. That's perfectly reasonable. So, yeah. You know, I think just going out and copying the guy who makes the most money is a path to failure. Copying, as you said, the way it approaches it, maybe co-opting strategies is great. But you really need to be exposed to a lot of different types of setups. I was actually peeking in on a webinar recently, and I actually wrote a post about this that I was very disappointed in what I heard. One of the educators was saying, all you need to do is learn my two strategies and trade 2 hours a day.
Yeah,
that's terrible advice. That's terrible advice.
The worst. Yep, terrible.
That's terrible advice. You don't want to you, as a trader, when you're first starting, that's great that those setups work for that trader, if in fact they do work for that trader. That's great. But you want to be exposed to different ideas. You want to fail at strategies that just don't work for you. And you want to see the ones that really do work for you, do more of the ones that do work for you. I mean, all of our guys come in here and they go through the same training program. And they all come out a year later attacking markets differently. The guys, you know, the successful traders, even when they're in the same names, attack the plays differently. And so you gotta find your own niche, make trades your own, and that takes failing and experimenting. And then, you know, you need some talent. Look, not everyone was born to play Alabama football.
Or Clemson.
Everyone was born to, or Clemson.
Yeah.
Not everyone was born to be a pro trader.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, everybody can try, right? I mean, it doesn't take anything to open up an account.
No.
So you can play professionally, but that doesn't mean you should.
Those are some excellent points, Mike. And I want to add just one thing that I believe is a huge roadblock, a barrier for traders. And I think it's why it can be so difficult for new traders. And really, I think it comes down to expectations. To me, expectations are the biggest thorn in your side in this business, especially, you know, for new traders. I mean, with veteran traders, you know, we tend to be able to, you know, tone our expectations down, and we tend to take more of what the market gives us than what we want to take out of it. But I think new traders come in with expectations to make money. Listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't come in with expectations to make money, but look, I can just share my own personal experiences, and I'm the most guilty of this more than anybody, is that I came in this business to not only make money, but to get rich. And when I came into this business after, you know, a very short period of time, I would say a year or two, I was blown through 3 accounts, had no money left. Not only did I not, you know, get rich, or make money for that matter, I was trading out of a debit, a decent sized debit too, $25,000 of my own money, and then $50,000 additional borrowed money. And until that point, I would honestly say that when I got to my last account, I didn't start to, you know, try and make money. What I tried to do is I tried to protect my money. I didn't want to go back to being debit. And that's when you go back to your three stages and you talk about habits and process. And why that is the most important thing is simply to go back to what I just talked about with expectations. I think once you come in with the right mindset of what your goals are, and your goals in trading, in my opinion, your number one goal is to manage risk. And if you can manage risk and you can protect your capital, and then you could potentially buy some time in this industry to learn it and to get better at it. So I think that traders do themselves a major, you know, injustice by coming in with those type of expectations. And once you come in and go through those three stages that SNB talks about, you get the trader in the right state of mind before they begin to trade.
Well, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm a little bit older now, and I'm 46, two kids now. And what I find now is that the reward is not really money. The reward in trading is you testing yourself to be as good as you can be as a person, and figuring out, you know, how disciplined you can be, how patient you can be, how much improvement you can make, and, you know, testing yourself on a lot of different things, like your diet, like mindfulness training, and, you know, like hitting the weight room. And you start to recognize that, you know, of course you want to make money, and that's very helpful, and that is a result of being good at trading. But what's better and what provides you more happiness is a self-mastery, understanding that you can improve as a person in different areas when you put in processes like you do in trading in other areas of your life. That's become a very powerful person then, which is gratifying.
Great insight today, Mike, giving us a behind-the-scenes look at a very successful prop shop. Now, we have a bunch of rapid-fire segment questions ready for you, so we're going to begin with that. Our rapid-fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Trade the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT, the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. Create your account and try it now free at tryttnow.com. First question, how has your trading evolved over the years?
When I first started trading, I was more of a momentum trader. And because of HFTs, high frequency trading, I do less of that. I have to wait for special opportunities for momentum trading to hit buttons. Now I'm more of an intraday swing trader, for lack of a better term. I'm going to look for more of the real trade as opposed to taking 25, 50 cents out of plays. I'm going to be looking for $1.50 to $2 more out of trades. And to do that, I've had to incorporate more than reading the tape skills into trades. I'll look at the big picture. I'll look at chart setups. I'll look at fundamentals. I will look at the tape. I will use my intuition. To make decisions. So now there's probably five very important variables that go into each trade. There used to be maybe one.
Can you tell me the moment that trading just clicked for you?
So when I first started trading, I was down a good $30,000 in my trading account. I was working for a firm, and I was probably a good 8 months into it. We had a nice turn in the markets, not the internet, but some of the semiconductors really start to heat up and offer a lot of opportunity. And I started to take advantage of the opportunity. When I first started trading, we had the Asian financial crisis hit, and trading was pretty hard for the first 6 months to 8 months of my trading career. Our firm was laying off people for the first time in its history. There were guys that went from seven figures to losing money. But I kind of hung in there and started to see the screens better, understand myself better, and make some pretty good trades in some of the semiconductors about 8 months into my trading career.
What is the number one source you spend your time on?
Yeah, so I like to look for opportunities that stocks can finish high of day or lower day. So the number one thing I'm looking for are stocks with unusually good news or unusually bad news. And I'm going to overlay my trading setups that work best for me into those opportunities.
What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
So I should pull like a Donald Trump right here. If Donald Trump were asked this question, he'd say The Art of a Deal. So I should probably say One Good Trade or The Playbook. I enjoy Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. I thought that's an interesting that was an interesting trading book for me to read when I read it, and gave you some pretty good ideas on trading psychology that are particularly helpful to me as a trader.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
Well, probably Wall Street. And right now I watch Billions on Showtime.
What's the best piece of advice you've received about trading or the markets?
So, and Dr. Steenbarger offered the best piece of advice, and he did so recently. And he said, so a lot of people say, well, find your niche. Find setups that highlight your talents. And Dr. Steenbarger said, helped with the solution of, well, how do you figure that out? And he recommended that you think about how you were successful previously. And, you know, what were the things that went into you being successful as an athlete? What are some of the things that were helpful for you being successful as a student? What were the things that were helpful for you in building your business? And take that and apply it to your trading. And when I thought about that for a long time, I eliminated some trades that eliminated some of the faster trades that I've been making, which I probably should have eliminated. And I started getting bigger in very select setups that mimicked why I was successful in other areas of my life with my trading.
Now, if you can give a piece of advice to the new people interested in getting involved in trading, what would it be?
I think it's what you said. Go in with the proper expectations. You know, yes, we have guys here who make seven figures. They did not make seven figures in their first year. They did not make seven figures in their second year. You're thinking about a 3, 4, or 5 year process to get there. If you ask me my expectations of guys when they come in the first year, I don't have any. I have no expectations in the first year for guys to be making money. In the second year, I have some. I think they should be able to pay the bills. By the third year, I think they should be a high-performing trader, which we calculate as somebody who makes over 250 in net P&L. And then you should start thinking about making $500,000 and maybe year five making seven figures and building from there. So don't go in trying to make a couple $100,000 in a short order. Give it some time.
Great stuff again, Mike. Thank you so much for giving us insight behind the scenes at a successful prop shop. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us here on Futures Radio Show about these important topics, and I look forward to having you back on the show again in the future.
I appreciate the opportunity, Anthony.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.